Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January 29th, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book, Bill's Story, page 16, the first paragraph on that page, An Alcoholic in His Cups, ending with, He could not or would not see our way of life. Today's readers are Cara L., who will read the text, Chanel T, A Vision for You, and Shelley E is our backup. Alice G is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, January 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,165, and for Thursday, January 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,167. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathleen C. to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you for your service this month, Kathleen. We're now going to go to Tennessee, and Susan G. will kindly read the 12 traditions of OA for us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Hi, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of OA. Traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Someone is unmuted. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story, page 16, the first paragraph, an alcoholic in his cups, ending with, he could not or would not see our way of life. And I will now ask Cara L. to start reading and share with us. Thank you, Cara.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. Morning, my fellows. This is Cara L. And, you know, this paragraph, it always, like, you know, I used to have a sponsor, and she would say to me, only an alcoholic stops and think when presented as take this spiritual way of life or death. And an alcoholic will stop, or a compulsive dealer will stop, and actually think that that's a choice, right? And I go to these words like, you know, this alcoholic is an unlovely creature. I spent years trying to be a lovely creature, controlling, manipulating, trying. And where it got me to was a screaming shrew who would wake up every day demoralized, try to control my food throughout the day, morally, you know, like just fail. And then at night, making a promise to myself that I would do it the next day. That's where all of my controlling and trying to be a lovely creature. Today, I start my day off by saying, higher power, I give you this day and anything in this day. Please put in front of me anything you need me to do. And I feel like I'm much more of a lovely creature. I'm 20 years older. My hair is grayer. My skin is saggier. And I feel much more a lovely creature. In God's will today, I can be kind and generous. I can stop and take a step back and say, I don't know what I'm doing, God. Please help me. Today, I know that for me, spiritual program or death, there's no choice there. There's no moment to stop and think. It's spiritual program. Right? And I try to remember this when I'm working with somebody new that is having a hard time. I got to remember back to the time I had a hard time when I knew to my soul that if I just did things right, everything would be okay. And that's not okay today. Today I know in my soul, well, I'm going to try my best, God, and hopefully you're going to guide me because I am imperfect today. All I can say today is show me what you need me to do today, and I will do the best I can, higher power. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara. Okay, so if you came in midway, let me tell you where we are before we go to sharing. We're on page 16. We read and we're just commenting on this one paragraph, the first paragraph, an alcoholic in his cups, through to he could not or would not see our way of life. So if today is your third day to share on either vision meeting, I would love to hear from you. Star one to unmute, your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from today. Who would like to share this morning?
Julie B., Oregon.
Thank you, Julie.
Ingrid H., Los Angeles.
Hi, Ingrid. Thank you.
Michelle A.C. in Colorado.
Good morning, Michelle. Thank you.
Judy from Northern California.
Thank you, Judy. Anyone else?
Julie W. from Monterey, California.
Was that Julie W.?
Yes.
Great, thank you. And was somebody else coming in with you? Here's someone else or no? Okay, so here's who I have. I have Julie B., Ingrid H., Michelle A.C., Judy, who will give us her last initial in Northern California, and Julie W. in Monterey. So we'll start with this group, and Julie B. in Oregon, over to you. Good morning. Thank you so much.
Hi, Susan. Thank you so much, and thank you to the reader. Just one sentence, you know, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely thing. I love that expression, in his cups. I think it's English. Because we use the big book and we talk between alcoholism and compulsive overeating, I sometimes sit in on AA online meetings or podcasts and speakers. And there is, in our culture, in American culture anyway, a kind of macho bravado sometimes associated with drinking too much. With men especially. So I'll hear a guy say, I stole a fifth of whiskey from my dad and I drank the whole thing. And, you know, there's this kind of, you know, yeah, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't seem to really be ashamed of it. And when I think of the parallel thing for me as an overeater, it would be, I stole my son's Halloween candy and I ate the whole bag. And that's not cool, and that's not sexy. It's just gross, you know? And when I hear an alcoholic say, I went on a drinking bender, and I woke up in Reno, and I don't know how I got there. And for me, it would be, I pigged out on food in front of the TV, and when I woke up, there was an empty box of donuts, and I don't know how it got there, right? So that's just embarrassing. Like, there's nothing to brag about. And one of the things that separates our addictions seems to be that overeating is never cool. It's never sexy. It's never something to brag about. It's always embarrassing and shameful. You know, I feel ashamed when I overeat. I don't tell anyone except for you guys because I'm ashamed. And when you see people in movies and TV and that pigging out on food, it's never cool. They're not like Hemingway, you know, writing the great American novel while he's trashed. They're just comical and shameful. So this program is giving me back my dignity, and I'm so grateful for that. So grateful. Thank you, Susan, and everybody else, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie B. in Oregon. We're now coming to Los Angeles, California. Good morning, Ingrid.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service and thank you to the reader. This is Ingrid, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And this paragraph is actually one of my, many favorites, but I think about myself, a compulsive overeater in the food, and I am an unlovely creature when I'm in my disease. And, what does that look like for me? I isolate. I'm snarky. I become a know-it-all. I fall into depression and anxiety. I become paranoid. I'm fearful. I am not a pleasant person to be around in this disease, and I have to be reminded of what that is like. And, it goes on to say our struggles with them, or I think of people like their struggles with me. It's like, it's strenuous. I'm a piece of work, right, to others in this disease, and it's tragic. And it's tragic, it's heartbreaking, it's devastating, it's catastrophic for me when I'm in the food. And for others too that love me. And thankfully, after a long relapse, after trying to do the middle of the road solution, after thankfully I can see the AA way of life, the 12-step way of life today, and one day at a time, do the work that is required of me. And it doesn't even feel like work today, thankfully. It's my medicine, this way of life. And with this way of life, I don't have to be in the food. But I'm not a lovely person when I'm in it. And I pray to God that I never have to go back to being in my cups, to being in the food, and to just stay in recovery one day at a time. So thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Ingrid. Next, we have Michelle A.C. in Colorado. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you, and thank you, Tara, for your share this morning. I got a really good view of myself in my emotional cups over the last 24 hours, and it really made me think about my definition of the disease, right? It's definitely the food, but it's also the self-will. And me in self-will is remarkably unlovely. And even when I think I'm doing it for a good reason, and I think, part of the disease is that it tells us it's not a disease. Tells us everything's fine and we should definitely do what the disease says. And for me, that's thinking I can handle anything, do anything, like that perfectionist superwoman complex. And that's me in my cups. And one of my program friends, fellow travelers said to me yesterday, if you feel bad about an interaction, you're probably feeling bad about what you did, not what the other person did. And I left an interaction yesterday feeling so horrible on so many levels about what I did. And the disease showed up, being in my cup showed up as perfectionism. It showed up as self-will. It showed up as anger at myself. It showed up as thinking I could handle everything, being superwoman, all of those things. And I was very unable to accept that that's who I am when I'm not giving my will over to my higher power. Like the acceptance part was not there, and I felt so much shame. And it's interesting, just reading, I read it, there was a little thing this morning in the For Today where they were talking about like having the courage to be yourself. And it hit me that the courage to be myself means accepting those parts of myself too, that I don't like, and the parts that I find variously strenuous, comic, and tragic, because it was comic, tragic, and strenuous all at the same time. And so I think that, being the lovely creature that my higher power intended me to be means not being in my will and not being in my disease. And to get there, I know the path. I get to be there. I've had a lot of spiritual awakenings. I'm there a lot of the time, and when I'm not, the contrast is so obvious to me. So I was just very glad to read the paragraph this morning and be able to turn it around and apply it to myself in a difficult situation. And that's really all I've got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Michelle AC in California. Next, we have Judy in Northern California. And Judy, if you could share your last initial with us. Star one to unmute. Okay. Next, I have Julie W. in Monterey. Julie, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Who's this?
This is Judy.
Judy. And Judy, what's your last initial, please?
This is Judy I. from Petaluma, California.
Great. Go ahead. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Thank you for your service, everybody. And I'm just new to these morning meetings, these Vision for You meetings. I'm starting my abstinence over. And, yeah, wow, I so can relate to this paragraph. I feel like this time around, I had more of a desire to stop my compulsive overeating because of who I'd become, that Mr. Jekyll that I become with the food. And it's a really, really scary person. And I had some people give me feedback about what I look like, and really what they're describing is me high on food. And it's not a pretty sight. And I am so grateful to be here and to hear other people sharing about how this way of life is helping them not only let go of their food compulsions, but really change their behavior and the way they are in the world. And I'm already feeling a difference of 17 days of, you know, doing this stuff and reading the big book every day and talking program and speaking to people every day and just doing what everybody else is doing. And I'm so grateful. It's like I feel like a big weight is being lifted off my shoulders. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. And we're so happy you're spending your mornings with us. Next, we have Julie W. in Monterey. Hello, Julie. Julie, are you there? Okay. All right. Well, I'll take the next lineup of names. And Julie, if you're able to unmute, let me know. So,
Margo B.
I got that. Yeah. Okay, hold on. So Margot, and just a reminder again, if this is your third day to share on either meeting, please, if you shared on Monday, Tuesday, you know how it goes. You all know how to count. Margot, where are you from, please?
New York.
Thank you. Who else would like to join Margot?
Donna B.
I think I heard Donna B.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And someone else was... Polly Q. Thank you, Polly.
Kathy M.
Thank you, Kathy.
Lori C.
Thank you, Lori.
Michaela,
I got you. Thank you.
Jordan L.
Thank you, Jordan. Good morning. All right, let's pause there. I have Margot B., Donna B., Polly Q., Kathy M., Lori C., Michaela, and Jordan L. So, Margot, start us off. Thank you so much.
Hi, Margot B. from New York, compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody, for their service and the comments. An alcoholic in his cup is an unlovely creature, struggles, suicide, could not, would not see our way of life. For me, the disease takes on physical, emotional, and spiritual. I can be just as sick with or without being in the food. And that's why I have this big book. I have my steps. I have the program. I have the tools, including people. And And I just love hearing about this and being reminded that the struggles can be, you know, in the spiritual and emotional, as well as with the physical malady of the allergy. And I just wanted to just say that it is a moment-by-moment thing for me, you know. I need to just keep showing up and keep working this, because the ism can come in at any time, right? And that's why I have to keep checking in with myself to see what's really going on. Oh, I'm feeling like, you know, I can have a little of this and a little, like, no. Like, where is that even coming from? And sometimes, there is somebody unmuted. Sometimes, you know, it's just a scar being a cigar because I'm a compulsive overeater. So, of course, you know, the nice, good-looking guy that's walking down the road, I'm not even looking at him. I'm looking at what he's eating for breakfast. You know? I mean, let's, like, this is where my disease can take me, right? Not to mention the bags, the boxes being passed out, the shame and the self-abuse, really, right? But I got to go and I got to keep working it and going to God and just being aware that this affects me physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and I need to know a new way of living, because if it doesn't, it kills me. You know, I don't want to be the living dead anymore. And if I don't have a solution, then I really don't see another option than checking out, right? But thank God there is a solution. So I just want to keep working it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Margot B. in New York. Next, we have Donna B. And Donna, could you remind everybody where you're calling from this morning, please?
Good morning. This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna, calling from Colorado. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. And I want to comment on the sentence, "One poor chap committed suicide in my home." And thank God that has never happened. I don't have the experience of someone committing suicide in my home or even, committing grave harm. But the harm that I do see that I really want to talk about is how frequently someone will call me and say, "I messed up. I broke my abstinence. I think I should just leave the rooms. I can't get the program. I'm such a failure. I'm such a loser. I don't get it. I think I should just leave." And it's very hard for me to relate to that mentality, because I have suffered inside the rooms with all the resources that avail me, the book, the steps, the sponsors, the fellows, the reminders, the meetings, and it still hasn't been perfect. And what I tell these people is, if you're struggling inside the rooms, what could possibly be better outside of the rooms, without the resources, without the people, without the support? And so what I really try to convey to myself and to my fellows is that this is not a place where we need to bring shame. This is not a place where messing up or screwing up means that we'd be punished and banished to the outside world. That with time and with commitment, even one day of abstinence, one day of connection with a higher power is worth staying. This is probably going to be really unpopular, but I don't like the term chronic relapser. I've decided to rebrand that term with something a little bit edgier, which is, I'm a person who occasionally fucks shit up. And that just feels more true to me than a chronic relapser. So for anyone who's labeled themselves as a chronic relapser and as a result feels like this is not a place for them, I really welcome you to rebrand it in a way that feels like you can keep coming back. And with that, I pass.
That's kind, Donna. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Okay, next we have Polly Q in Northern California. Good morning, Polly.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you so much for your service. Polly Q, recovered in Northern California. When I read this, I have to say that there are days, there's lots of days when I wake up and I think I've got the cat by the tail. And then those character defects that are part of being human pop in. And after, you know, a little while, I want some food. You know, I mean, I am a food addict of the hopeless variety. I speak with people that aren't, but the people I sponsor are. And this guy obviously was too, because he committed suicide. So he was obviously an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. So the thing about that is, in the rooms, like people have said, I have to admit to that. Because if I walk around in denial, thinking that because I followed my food plan, I'm safe. I worked those steps one time, I'm safe. If I do that, I'm gonna break my abstinence. In fact, that's probably gonna be the least of what I do. There's gonna be a lot of wreckage. It just is the way it is. I wish it wasn't, but you know, that comes with being human. And put addiction on top of that, then I'm going to struggle. So I have to really pay attention to where I'm at. I have to be okay with the idea that, you mean I'm not going to walk around feeling good all the time? No, I don't know any human that does. But I have to actually try to find a spiritual solution to that. Otherwise, I'll eat because I'm an addict. Not because I'm bad, but because I'm an addict. Not because I'm not abstinent, but because I need to stay abstinent. So if you're feeling like me, you're in the right place. Thanks.
Thank you, Polly Q in Northern California. Next we have Kathy M, who I believe is in Michigan. Thank you, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy M from Massachusetts. That's okay. Thank you for taking my call, and thanks for everyone doing service today. You know, I just came back from a wonderful, wonderful Cape vacation. I didn't have any contact with OA. I text my sponsor every day, almost days. And, you know, and my food is okay because I work the steps, and I've worked through the steps, and I continue to work through the steps, and it keeps me safe. But, you know, the line that struck me today was in your cups, and immediately I went to, in my cups, you know, and I remember eating in the bags and the boxes and just feeling sick to death afterwards. And I'm in the beverage program, and I remember, you know, drinking myself blindly and being in the cups. And it was never, when I share that information, it's so other people can identify with it, because that is the insanity of my disease. And I don't want to forget it, but I don't want to live in it either, you know. I've cleaned house. I have a group. I have a sponsor. I have a higher power, and I'm here today, and I'm sharing, and, you know, I'm so, so very grateful. You know, we got 16 inches of snow where I live, and it's 24 degrees out, and I got to dress all up and keep warm, and it's tough walking outside, but I look at the snow, and it's beautiful. You know, it's beautiful. It's just, you know, I've learned to look on the good side of the things and not ignore the bad things, but not get overcome by them. And I'm very grateful to be here today. And thanks for taking my call, and have a great day, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kathy M. in Massachusetts. Next, we are going back to Colorado. Good morning, Laurie C.
Good morning, everyone. I am so glad to be in this meeting this morning. I have had so many people recommend this meeting, and I finally got here after all these years. So, and I see why they recommended it. Thanks, everyone, for your service. And also, I just wanted to say, you know, sometimes at first, especially, I had a little bit of trouble identifying with some of Bill's story. but it just dawned on me this morning that when I was still in my 20s, I had people that I worked with in the afternoon. I used to like to have one of my favorite treats, and I would go back to my office after eating it, and somebody would say to me, "You ate, didn't you?" And it never occurred to me what an impact that particular alcoholic food ingredient had on me and my personality, which made me, you know, more lively and entertaining and all that stuff. I thought that I was probably just obnoxious, and it was noticed by other people that I had eaten it. So anyway, I just wanted to share that this morning and say that I do indeed identify with Bill's story. Thanks, everyone. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laurie C. in Colorado. Next, we're going to Canada. Good morning, Michaela.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay, we're on page 16, the paragraph. Hold on one second. I just flipped the page. We're on the paragraph, an alcoholic in his cups, through that one paragraph.
Thank you.
Michaela, back to you. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. This is Michaela J. in British Columbia, Canada. And, wow, just this one sentence, I'm an alcoholic in his cups, an unlovely creature. I read that and went, no, I was never unlovely. Okay, I was absolutely awful to be around in my disease. I was a completely, you know, unlovely creature. I was selfish, I was self-centered, shut down, not present for those I love or who loved me. You know, God isn't even in my thoughts if I'm back in my disease, as I'm back to believing I'm God. You know, my life is completely unmanageable, not functional, my spirit is dead. You know, I'm in the other program too, and I thought, you know, my spirit's been dead by some of my, I'll call them escapades in the other program, but nothing killed my spirit more than this disease. You know, today I'm living in the solution, but I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that I'm not cured or will be cured. You know, all I have is a daily reprieve contingent on doing the work every day and all day and helping others. And I think that's all I've got to say, apart from I absolutely love this meeting and I'm so, so appreciative of you all. I learned so much and thank you.
Thank you so much, Michaela J. in British Columbia, Canada. Next, we're going back to Colorado. Good morning, Jordan L.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thanks for moderating this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. And I was thinking about that line too, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. And that's certainly true of me. I think in the food I was comatose for the most part, right? Like I used food in the same way that a drunk uses alcohol. So like the goal was to numb out or pass out, you know? But what that line makes me think of as well is the moments where I'm actively in my disease, but not actually eating, those are the moments that were most unlovely for me. Those moments when I am not using food to comatose myself, and I'm like self-will run riot trying to create my own solution for life, right? Trying to wrestle happiness out of life by managing well. And that's what's really under this. That's what's really under my compulsive overeating. That's the true nature of my problem and what I'm actually going to have to address in the coming steps, if you will. And that is, that's kind of what step three is all about. I think about this. I think about the fact that I'm abstinent today, that I'm like happy to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous. And that was so, that's so crazy for me. That's such the opposite of the way that I felt when I came in here. It took me 5 years to get abstinent and to really commit to Overeaters Anonymous. And I still think about that because I could have just stayed in the food forever. I could have been comatose forever. So I'm very grateful to be here today. I'm very grateful for that moment of clarity that brought me here and kept me here. And actually, I'm grateful. I'm also grateful for that decision. I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care and protection of a higher power.
That's time.
And that's what keeps me here. And I keep making that decision over and over and over again. Thanks for letting me share. That's it.
Thank you, Jordan. All right, we have a little bit more time and a reminder where we are if you came in late. We're on page 16, the first paragraph, an alcoholic in his cups, ending with, he could not or would not see our way of life. So if this is your third day to share, please press star one to unmute, and we maybe have time for two or three more, depending. Who would like to share?
Kim D. in Northern California.
Thank you, Kim.
Robin Tish.
Hold on, I heard Robin, and then there was it Danny?
Danny P. Susan. That's
Danny,
okay.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Danny. Thank you. So I've got Kim D., Danny P., Robin T. We'll see how we go. Kim D., take it away. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Kim D. in Northern California, in Santa Rosa. And I just want to thank everyone for sharing because I have just been in the foods getting worse and worse. And I had a period of abstinence. It was wonderful. And my partner recently just said, you know, like, you're like a different person, you know, and I just totally shut down and I've just been on the couch and so not the last couple of days. And, you know, he's like, there's something else wrong with you. Like, I knew you had this food problem. You know, I told him before we got together and he's like, I thought you would just, you know, overeat and gain weight and I could deal with that. But this, you're like crazy. And he's like, you know, is there anyone else like this? And so it just, it helps to know that there are other people that are like this with food. And it also really encourages me how important it is to get abstinent because I've just been playing around with it. And like I said, it's getting worse and it's like, it takes over my brain. So thank you all. And I'm encouraged. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim. All right, next we have Danny P. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Susan. Can I be heard?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, my friend, for your service. Thank you for everyone who's been in service. I'm Danny P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Only by God's grace and only by God's mercy. And I'm calling from Brazil. You know, that's an amazing paragraph for me. And I'm reflecting on those cups and how I am an unlovely creature. And that's certainly true for me. When I'm in the food, I'm an unlovely creature. And when I'm not in the food, I'm also an unlovely creature. And let me be honest with you, when I'm not eating, it's even worse because it's more apparent that I'm an unlovely creature. Because everything I'm medicating with the food, my resentments, my fears, I'm not anymore. So it becomes very evident that I'm an unlovely creature when I'm abstinent. That's why entire abstinence does not treat my disease. The only thing that treats my disease is to have a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience as a result of implementing the instructions of this book entirely abstinent. But I can really relate to this poor chap because I almost committed suicide in a way, because I thought abstinence could treat my disease and I would not implement this way of life. I wanted to recover in a 12-step program without implementing the 12 steps. And this almost led me to suicide. So I'm very grateful for this book, for this relationship. The main object of this book is to help me to find power. And that's what I need. Because in my disease, I'm powerless. And I need to find power and develop a relationship with power. So that's why I need these instructions. And I'm very grateful for this book, for this meeting. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Danny P. in Brazil. And last, our last share will be Robin T. And Robin, if you could tell us where you're calling from this morning.
Hi, sorry, I had to unmute again. Robin T. calling from Massachusetts, snowy Massachusetts. Hi, thank you so much for your service today, Susan, and everybody on the line. So this paragraph, for some reason, spurred on the thought of mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, and Snow White. And I thought about, what do I mirror during the day? And, you know, in the food, in my cups, boy, oh boy, I don't mirror anything lovely, that's for sure. So really, you know, what do I, who and what do I prefer to reflect as a human being? How do I want my behavior to be? I have to ask God, because on my own, I'll go back to the cups for sure. I have to ask God what actions I should take today to serve my fellow human beings. And it all depends on my actions and my non-actions, actually, as well. So I think I'll pass with that. And thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much. That's not bad timing at all, so that worked. All right, thank you everybody for your service, and especially our whole team for January, Cara, Chanel, Shelley, Alice, Leslie, Kathleen, and Joanne wasn't here today. Thank you so much, Susan in Tennessee, for stepping in. If you need a sponsor or you are an available sponsor, please stay on after we close the meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Chanel T., will you please read A Vision for You for us? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Susan. Hi, Chanel T., grateful and recovered compulsive eater. By the grace of God today, I'm here in Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. We'll constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.